Welcome to another episode of Snaps and Golf Claps. Guys, I'm so happy to be here with you guys again for another week. You guys will please forgive me. I have a bit of a stuffed up nose. I'm dealing with a bit of congestion and allergies, so I'm working through those right now, but we gotta do what we gotta do. On that note, that's something that I wanted to chat about a bit, the importance of getting really clear about where you want to go and getting clear about what it takes. We've developed this mindset, this persona that things are just going to fall into place. And although there is truth to that, I think one of the biggest things that gets left out in that statement is through action, through consistent action at that. I mean, I feel like not a day goes by where I don't come across some sort of video on social media telling me that I can will things into existence. But again, there has to be a catalyst for things to come to fruition. Social media is great in a lot of ways, and to not make this another reason as to why I think we should get away from it a bit, but it's good in a lot of ways because it gives us a platform in a way that we've never gotten it before. So when it comes to that, it's incredible. However, we only get to see whatever that creator or that person, the friend, shows us. Everything is so hyper-curated and hyper-customized that we don't really get to see the journey. We don't get to see the process of things a lot of times. And so for someone to come on and be like, this is how I made it happen, you know, you just got to stay focused and things will just fall into place. And it's like, focus on what? What's going to fall into place? Obviously, it's not their responsibility to give us clarity, but it is our responsibility to understand that that's not how it works. There are a lot of things, and this is something that I'm realizing right now because I'm in the midst of a big transition in my life, as I've been alluding to in the past, but the importance of getting really clear about what you want. You may not know what it looks like at the end, and you're not supposed to because you've never been there before, but I think it's important, it's imperative for us to do enough work to understand what it would take with the knowledge that we have. Right. I think we get so caught up in the knowledge that we don't have and the knowledge that we have to acquire, but that's not what helps you get clarity on your goal. What helps you get clarity on your goal is the knowledge that you have right now on said goal. So do enough to get you started. And as you go, you acquire more knowledge or at least know where and how to seek said knowledge. Right. So if I believe that I can be an astrophysicist, I'm not going to start with the theory of whatever, something deep in astrophysics. I'm going to start with, okay, I believe I can be an astrophysicist. I believe anyone could be an astrophysicist. Okay, Sachi, so what do you know about astrophysics right now? If my answer is nothing, then where do I start? What is astrophysics? And from doing that work of finding, okay, what is astrophysics? I'll read a book about astrophysics. I'll see what they say about it. There are terms. I'm writing them down as I'm reading so I could later look them up. And then I look them up. And then I learn more. And then I find some other terms within the term of what that is. And then I find a video of some astrophysicists talking about those terms. And now I'm like, okay, this might be an expert in the field. So let me see what else he's talking about. And then I look through that and the process continues as I continue to act upon it. But we want to go from what is astrophysicist all the way to step 42 without step by step. As much as people tell you there's a blueprint and this is the blueprint and buy my course and this and that, hey, what you have to realize in that situation, and there's no beef, it's always good to learn from people, but understand that when you are being sold a product, you're a part of their process. Yes, they might help you, but there's also books out there that we can sit down and read. We just want the cookie cutter shortcut. So we don't have to spend hours going through a book and maybe not get the answer we're looking for. Or we don't have to spend hours, you know, focused on reading. It's good to read. It's good to acquire information from a source outside of the internet because that forces us also to exercise things that we have lost. We have lost focus. We have lost concentration, being comfortable with boredom. We are constantly bombarding ourselves with stimulus, external stimulus. Our brain is not built for that. More than one reason as to why you feel burnt out all the time, and it's not all because of the world around you. A lot of it has to do with what you're consuming, what you're doing on a day-to-day. I guarantee that if you spend 30 minutes that you spend scrolling, doing absolutely nothing, and allowing yourself to feel boredom, allowing yourself to feel stillness, it'll help bring a lot of those external stimulus that we receive and feel internally down. But this constant bombardment of information and stimuli and this and that and this and that is not good for us. It's not. And I do believe that a lot of the things that we're facing as a society stems from that. No, I don't have scientific evidence, but I have anecdotal evidence. I see what it's doing to me. I see what it does to people around me. I see how hard it is for me to focus. And I am intentional about focusing, right? Like, I see how challenging it can be to concentrate. I see how easy it is to drift off. Granted, there are things that I deal with that make it a bit more difficult for me to stay focused, but I still create the environment to do so. And even at that, I'm thinking about picking up my phone, right? So there is something there. I don't know what it is, and I don't think we'll know what it is until it's no longer profitable or until it becomes a big enough crisis societally. I think we can put two and two together and see, this ain't right. This don't feel right, you know? Like when they talk about how blue light emission continues brain activity for hours after being off of your devices, after turning off the TV, after all that stuff. That's a real thing, and that's already been scientifically proven. Again, a lot of this information is out there for free. You know? A lot of this information is out there for free directly at the source. Sometimes it's easier to just give me the condensed version. Why? Why are you always rushing? Why do you always need the condensed version? How about, I found the journal that talks about X, Y, and Z thing. I found the information. I found the book. Let me set aside time to get through it as opposed to just give me the cliff notes. Give me the spark notes. Give me the whatever. Give me the condensed version. I don't have time. What are you doing that you don't have time? You never have time? You never have time for anything. If you don't have time, then explain to me your screen time right now. Go look at it. It's hours, right? So if it's hours, tell me again you don't have time. How is, and this isn't coming from a place of judgment, but this is coming from a place of, I want us all to open up our eyes. We have time. We're just robbing it and hijacking ourselves of it because of our need to be constantly stimulated by things that are not feeding our soul. We have to snap out of it. We have to be intentional and snap out of it. This stuff is not good for us, and it's limiting us more than it is helping us. I'm down for a good kiki, but kikiing all day? What are we doing? What's so funny? You know? Like, I get it. I get it. For a lot of us, it's an escape. For a lot of us, it's a place to feel validated, to feel seen. But it's like, what we got to do then is we have to evaluate the health of the relationships around us. If we have to go to the internet to feel these things, to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel understood, to feel connected, we have to evaluate the health of the relationships around us. Are we doing everything that we can in order to create that in the real world? If not, maybe let's go get some new friends. Maybe let's go find some new activities, some new hobbies. Let's get away from this thing that isn't real. I'm currently watching this whole TikTok ban happen, and it's funny, the reactions, but I know there's a lot of truth in those reactions, and it's like, it in a way breaks my heart a little bit, because I understand, like, this is putting all the other stuff aside as to why and all that stuff, but it's like, I'm really experiencing people have full-on meltdowns about this app going away, and again, this isn't about the whys and all that stuff, but it's really about, like, how can something mean so much? You know, like, what is it? What is it that thing harnesses that you can't get or struggle to get in the real world, and why? You know, we need to spend more time sitting with ourselves and understanding the whys of why we do things in certain ways and take a bit more accountability on our life and evaluate what it is that we're getting from these things. Because I do have, like, I do understand, I am understanding about how the internet creates a safe space for a lot of people because they get to be around like-minded people, especially from an algorithm perspective. It pushes all of that onto us. But on the same note, I think it's what makes some people feel like the world is such a scary place is because the world doesn't have an algorithm. We're shoulder to shoulder with our neighbor, and just because somebody doesn't think or look or believe like you isn't default unsafe or scary. It's just that's how people are. We're all independent beings. We're all different, and we're all allowed to be different. That's what makes us beautiful. That's what makes us such a unique species. And I think we've gotten so in a vacuum about how things operate that we have lost the human touch. I was at a thrift yesterday, and this kid, it felt like it was like brain rot in real life. Where I'm watching his brain, he's talking to himself and he's speaking out loud about what he's doing in the moment. And it felt like he was like scrolling from topic to topic in real time, but verbally. Like he's looking at these sneakers. He's like, oh, the Jordan 11. Oh, what the? And I'm watching this in real time. And it's like he's so deep into it that he doesn't even realize that he's literally walking through people damn near, right? Like people are like taking a step back and he's not saying excuse me and none of that. And it's like, this isn't about how he was raised. None of that matter. Like in that situation matters. This is more so about like he is so into that. Like that's his mindset. And I don't know the kid, right? Could there be something else going on there? Possibly. But I've seen similar behaviors before from younger kids where, you know, they might be on their phone or doing something and it's like complete disregard for everyone around them. And that's not good. That's not good because regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, we need to care about each other. We need to be aware of each other. We need to be present and aware of our surroundings a little bit. We have to have some sort of awareness. And I'm not saying people are out to get you, but also like the survival instinct. Be present. Be here now. Be with yourself, but also be with us. We're all here. I love interacting with older people because they're just so present. Like they're so here, you know, they'll talk to anybody. And they don't have that same thing, which is another reason why I know this is doing something to our brains. Because talk to somebody that's over the age of 40. They are different. They can have a conversation. They can sustain a conversation. They can talk about, they ask questions. They're a lot better conversationalists. Like, I feel like sometimes having conversations with people my age, younger, whatever, where it feels like it's a race to what's next, as opposed to actually the art of conversation, where instead of being like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow. Interesting. And like, how did you get into that? There's no how'd you get into that. There's, oh, yeah, me too. And I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this and I do this and I am this and I am this. And it's like, it's cool. Yeah, we talking. But like, how is it that the conversation is always coming back to you? But I think it's because we are so deep into this algorithmic thing that that's what happens. Everything feels like it's about us because everything on the internet in our algorithm is about us, right? I don't know if I'm making sense and I don't know if there's any truth or validity to this, but just pay attention to that next time you're around and just kind of see. I hope this isn't coming off judgy because that's not what I intend. I'm just observing a lot and I'm understanding a lot and I wish I could help more. Because I think the solution to a lot of this is creating those spaces that we get so deep into online, creating them in real life. And that's the challenge, is how do you create it in real life? I went to this event last night and it was dope to just see people interacting. There was a couple of people that came up to the table we were sitting at and was like, yo, can we sit here with y'all? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And we were just talking to them, cool people. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah, it was a small moment. Yeah, it wasn't a big deal, but it was like just having the ability to sit and chat with strangers. We don't even do that anymore because everybody's a walking red flag and everybody's stranger danger. And it's like, no, just because somebody doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they're a red flag, you know? That's so funny to me, the whole red flag conversation. Like, there are actual red flags. Do we understand that by labeling things that are bad all the time, it diminishes the things that are actually bad? You know, like, oh, he blew his nose with tissues instead of toilet paper. He blew his nose and then say, excuse me, red flag. Nah, bruh, a red flag is somebody that talks crazy to you and you allow it. I feel like we'd be allowing the actual red flags and then making up these like goofy red flags and being like, oh, it's a red flag. It's like, yeah, it's funny, it, whatever, ha, ha, ha. But it's actually, there are real things that we should be looking out for. And it's not the quirky things that people do. There are real red flags out there. And that's a whole other conversation. But it's like, we're robbing ourselves from connection because everything is a red flag and everything is an ick. That can't fly. We're truly not allowing ourselves the time or the space to connect with one another because everything is a red flag and we don't allow ourselves to have difficult conversations. You're not always going to agree with your friends. That's part of friendship. You might even have an argument with a friend. That's part of friendship. But it's about what you do afterwards. Y'all cutting off good friends, good connections, just because y'all don't agree with on something and then don't want to talk about it, that ain't right. I've seen it so many times around me where I'm like, oh, where's so-and-so? Like, oh, cut her off. Cut him off. Why? Well, because he said yada, yada, yada. Did y'all talk about it? Nah, I need it. I'm not going to talk about that. Is this person not someone you called your friend? You know what I mean? So, like, it's so fascinating to me, though, because I'm like, I'm blessed that my friends and I ain't got no beef. But I also understand that it's possible. Like, it's okay. All of my friends are very opinionated, and I love that. And it's like, I'd rather my friends to have differing opinions than for everybody to be just an agreeable mess. That's annoying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of people that got the same opinion and that are yes men. Like, have your own opinion. And let's talk about it, too. Like, it's okay if I don't agree with you. It's okay if you don't agree with me. We could still be friends. We could hash it out, duke it out, whatever. And that's it. It's in the past. We could talk about it if it turns into something it don't need to be because it happens. We're humans. But if not, we could have a conversation, agree to disagree, and keep it pushing. And guess what? You're still my friend. I still love you. So I think we need more of that. We need to bring that back in 2025 since we're bringing a bunch of stuff back and dropping a bunch of stuff and trying to be outside IRL, all that stuff, whatever. Let's bring that back. Let's bring back friendships, true friendships, friendships that might have disagreements. Let's bring back discussions. Let's bring back difficult conversations. Let's bring all that back. I'm getting to a point in my life that I used to be agreeable because I thought I didn't like conflict, but it's not that I didn't like conflict. I just had poor communication skills. So the more I work on it, the more I'm allowing my opinions to be my opinions. And if you disagree, I am opening up to conversation because I am comfortable with it now. But I'm also not married to anything that I believe. Like, yes, I have my strong morals, but I'm saying if I have an opinion, I'm open to learning as well. I'm open to hearing your perspective. Why do you feel that way? And at the end of it, at the very least, I gain perspective. At the very most, you might have swayed me because you're making good points and you're backing it up on something, right? Like, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. No one knows everything. So if somebody has a differing opinion or even a slightly differing opinion, like, or their perspective on the same opinion, that's all a learning experience. So instead of going into things to just talk, how about you go into conversations with friends to learn? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is friendship even? What is that? What does that look like to you? Is it just somebody that you can just be in the same space with and kiki all the time? Like, nah, bro, it's deeper than that. It has to be deeper than that. It can't just be just the person that we bust balls with all day. I could find somebody like that at the coffee shop. That's what all my coffee shop friends are, pretty much. Just people that I bust balls with. Like, I'm not getting any real depth in some of them become that, but I'm just going in there to bust balls. That's what that is. That's another thing, is that the erasure of third spaces have taken that away from us. Like, the people that are not like friends, but that are just acquaintances, people that we know that we just, you know, laugh about and talk about surface level stuff. Third spaces provided those people. Now that we don't have third spaces, a lot of times because everybody works from home or doesn't leave their home after work, you know, there's no neighborhood community hangouts anymore. We don't have those people that are more surface level that we just giggle with and make, you know, silly jokes with. And now our friends become that. So now we have no depth in relationships. And I'm generalizing, but you guys get what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that we should take initiative on bringing back and understanding the importance of it as well. This conversation took a left turn. I am desperately needing to blow my nose. So I'm going to end the episode here. I appreciate you guys again for listening to this episode. I hope that anybody that listens to it is open to having conversation with me, because I really do want to understand if you resonate with what I was talking about, or if you don't agree with it, let's talk about it, because I do want to understand more where everybody's coming from with this and what your perspective is on this. So anyways, thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day and an incredible rest of your week. And as always, be a little better every day. Thank you guys.